All right, welcome to another deep dive, everybody. Today we're looking at property law. Specifically, a Rhode Island Supreme Court case, Donnelly v. Cousel.
Ah, yes, boundary disputes, yeah. Access rights.
Exactly. Crucial stuff. Really gets at the heart of property ownership.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to unpack this case, Donnelly v. Cousel, look at the facts, break down the legal issues, and of course, what did the court ultimately decide and why? You know, for everyone listening, especially those of you out there studying law, this case is it's a really practical illustration.
Oh, absolutely.
Of how property law concepts play out in the real world.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, these disputes over deeds and easements. Like, what does it actually mean for something to be considered public property?
Right, right. Like, who can prove it, right?
Exactly. Proving it. Burden of proof, chain of title, all that fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So the case, just to set the scene, involves a little lane, Cousel Lane, down in Newport County, Rhode Island.
Sounds charming.
It does, doesn't it? Picturesque little lane, you can imagine. But things got, well, not so charming, you know. Classic neighbor dispute.
Happens all the time.
It does. So on one side, we have Donnelly and the Baezes. They owned land on the east side of the lane.
Okay.
And on the other side, the Andersons, their property bordered the lane on the west side.
All right. So the classic neighbor feud setup.
Exactly. And the big question the court had to grapple with, like the real central issue here, was who had the legal right to use that lane? Who could drive on it, walk on it, you know, all that. So that's what we're going to try to answer today. Who owned Cousel Lane and what rights did each of these parties have to use it?
Okay. I'm ready to dive in.
Let's do it. So to really understand this whole mess, we've got to rewind, go back to the beginning. We're talking 1928. Edith Keller owned this big chunk of land. She sells part of it to a guy named Oscar Schultz. But, and this is important, she carves out a 40-foot strip for herself.
So she keeps part of it.
Exactly. A 40-foot wide strip running right through the property, which eventually over time became known as Cousel Lane.
So that's where it all begins.
Mm-hmm. And as you might imagine, over the years, the ownership of that lane changed hands, you know, typical property transactions. By 1966, it ended up with the Cousel family.
All right. The Cousels.
The Cousels. And they're the ones who own the lane when this legal battle kicks off. Now, fast forward to the lawsuit. Donnelly, remember, she's on one side of the lane.
Right.
Her deed, and this is a big deal, her deed specifically says she has a right of way over Cousel Lane.
It's written right there in the deed.
Black and white, permission granted. The Baezes, on the other hand, their situation's a little different. Their deed doesn't say anything about having access to the lane.
Okay, so that's going to be a problem.
It is. And then there's the Andersons. They're saying, look, we don't own the lane, but we should be able to use it.
So everyone's got their claim.
Everyone wants a piece of the pie.
Yeah.
So round one, the trial court, they look at everything, hear everyone out. First thing, they confirm, yep, the Cousels own the lane. Not really a surprise there.
Mm.
Now, for Donnelly, good news. The court says you have a right to use the lane and for two reasons. One, it's written right there in your deed, that right of way. Two, the court says even without the deed, you'd still have a right of way because of this thing called a right of way by necessity.
Necessity. That sounds intriguing.
It is. Basically, the court's saying, look, your property is landlocked. You're surrounded by other properties. No other way to get in or out. So the law steps in and creates this right of way, makes it legal for you to access your own land. Makes sense, right?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely makes sense.
Okay. But the Andersons, not so lucky. Trial court rejects all their arguments. So they decide, all right, we're taking this to the Rhode Island Supreme Court.
Round two.
Round two. Now, the Andersons, they come in with two main arguments. First, they say, look, this lane, Cousel Lane, it's on all these subdivision maps that were approved by the planning board.
Mm-hmm.
And in Rhode Island, there's a law, Rhode Island General Laws, section 4523-10.
Well, you know the code section off the top of your head. Impressive.
I try. Anyway, this law basically says if a street's on one of these approved maps, it should be considered public.
So they're saying the lane's public, even though the Cousels technically own it.
Exactly. But here's the catch. For something to be considered dedicated for public use, the Rhode Island Supreme Court says you need two things. One, you need a clear evidence that the landowner, in this case, the Cousels, intended to make it public. Two, the public has to have accepted it as public. Both of these things got to be there.
Both, huh?
And the Supreme Court, they're not buying it. They look at those plats and they say, nope, labeling it as private way, that's not a clear intention to dedicate it for public use. They say, in fact, all the documents, the deeds, the plats, everything, they all call it private.
Okay, so argument number one, down.
Down it goes. But the Andersons, they've got another trick up their sleeve.
Let's hear it.
They're claiming something called a prescriptive easement. This is a legal concept that says, even if you don't own a piece of property, if you use it openly and continuously for a certain amount of time, 10 years in Rhode Island, and it's without the owner's permission, you can gain a legal right to use it. It's like saying, look, we've been using this lane for years. The owner never stopped us, so now we have a right to keep using it.
Interesting. So, like, squatter's rights, but for easements.
Exactly. So for a prescriptive easement to work in Rhode Island, the use has to be open, notorious, continuous, and adverse for 10 years. Open and notorious basically means everyone can see you using it. It's not a secret. Continuous, pretty self-explanatory, regular use, not a one-time thing. And adverse is the real kicker. Adverse means you're using it without the owner's permission, like you're claiming a right even though you don't have one.
Okay, so pretty specific requirements.
Very specific. And in this case, the Supreme Court sides with the trial court again. They're saying, look, the evidence just isn't there. It's likely the Andersons were using the lane with permission, maybe not explicitly, but they were tolerated. That's not adverse use. And they couldn't definitively prove they'd been using it this way for the full 10 years.
So that argument doesn't fly either.
Nope. Now, remember Donnelly with her nice, clear deed.
Yeah, what about her?
Well, she's sitting pretty. The Supreme Court affirms her right of way, no problem. Her deed clearly says she can use the lane. And like we talked about earlier, she's got that right of way by necessity since her property is landlocked.
Right. Makes sense.
So just to touch on something really quickly, you know, this case went all the way to the Supreme Court. That's an appeal, right? So when a higher court like the Supreme Court reviews a lower court's decision, they don't just redo the whole trial. They're not starting from scratch. They give a lot of weight to what the trial court decided, especially when it comes to the facts of the case. And in this case, the Supreme Court, they agreed with the trial court's findings. They said, look, the Andersons didn't show us anything that proves the trial court got it wrong.
Makes sense. You don't want to retry every single case from the beginning.
Exactly. So let's wrap this up. What are the big takeaways from Donnelly v. Cousell?
Well, first, if you're going to claim that some private road has become public, you need rock-solid evidence that the owner intended to make it public.
Mm-hmm.
Just seeing it on a map, especially if it's labeled private, not going to cut it.
Good to know. Second, those prescriptive easements, they have some really specific requirements. You can't just use someone's land for a while and say, okay, it's mine now. You got to prove you were using it without permission continuously for that whole 10-year period. And this case is a great example of how important the language in deeds is, the historical context of the property, and the chain of title. You know, all that stuff that can seem kind of dry when you're studying it, but in the real world, it makes all the difference.
Absolutely. It all comes down to the details.
It does. So final outcome, just to recap, the Cousells keep ownership of the lane. Donnelly keeps her right of way. The Andersons, no dice.
Case closed.
Case closed. But I got to say, it leaves you thinking, doesn't it? Like, how do we avoid these kinds of disputes in the future? Should we be writing those subdivision plans differently? Being more careful about the language in deeds?
Right, right. It's like, how do you balance private property rights with the need for access, for everyone to get where they need to go?
Exactly. Big questions. Food for thought.
Lots to think about.
Thanks for joining us for another deep dive.
Always a pleasure.